Praise the Lord for amazing grace. Last week as I was preaching on the danger of supposing out of the book of Acts chapter 27 verses 9 through 14 in preparation for the message, God really dealt with me strongly on the first 8 verses of that chapter. And I feel like that's what the Lord would have us preach on this morning, Acts chapter 27 verses 1 through 8. We realize that this is that great chapter where Paul and 275 others on board, which makes 276 total, were in a great storm there. And we do realize, and I believe this with all my heart, that Paul was in a storm, spiritually speaking, physically speaking, emotionally speaking, mentally speaking, before he ever got on board that boat. And then once he got on it, they were still in a storm, even though what you and I look and see physical storms hadn't even blown in yet, Paul was in a storm. I am reminded, before we read these verses, that he had been 2 years in prison. I am reminded that he had appeared before the Sanhedrin court, and they had done nothing for him except turn into a great fight and almost pulled him apart. He had stood before Felix, the Roman. He had stood before King Agrippa, but it was God in Rome. And Paul had appealed to Caesar for 2 years. Now, somebody today, you've been in a storm about a week, maybe a month, and you're coming unglued. Paul was at least 2 years in the prison cell. And no doubt through all the pressures that God had called him into the ministry and preaching to the Gentiles, every morning and every day and every night, he faced grave danger. You might say that Paul lived in the storms of life. And certainly you and I do as well. I'm not downplaying your week or your 2 weeks or your month. It may be longer than that. But the winds that are blowing this morning are not necessarily the great gale force storm winds, but it's still kind of some adverse winds. Now this morning, the Lord wants us to think on this thought. When you face the winds of adversity, what do you do? I'll ask you to stand this morning. We are reminded out there in 19 when the Edmund Fitzgerald was sailing on Lake Superior about 6 and 7 o'clock in the evening that they got in a great gale force wind and the seas rose some 20 and 30 feet. They had radioed and transmitted to the ship, the Arthur Anderson, and they made this statement, holding our own. Within 10 minutes, that boat was sunk, never heard from them again, and it completely disappeared off radar. I am concerned that today someone sits in this building and you're just about ready to slip off the radar. You're just about ready to quit and throw up your hands and say, what is the use? You hear me today. The winds are adverse, but sail on. Amen. Verse 1. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius of Augusta Asia, one Aristarchus us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his ship and sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia. We came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete, over against Salmone, and hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereinto was the city of Lycia. It was in that place that they got into the danger of supposing, and they voted to sail on and got in the great storm and lost everything except their lives. We're interested this morning in these first 8 verses
You see Paul jumping from here to there and selling from here to there. And many of you, as I read these scriptures this morning, looked and said, what is he going to get out of this? Snidus and Crete and Claudia and Cyprus, a preacher, Adramidium this morning. And I pray the Holy Spirit would reveal them to us today. Lord, we ask your blessings upon the message. God, we believe it's you that's given this to us. And God, we believe it'll be you that helps us and enables us to stand. So, Father, we're looking to you. I pray, God, you'd help the folks here today to hear the Spirit of God and to speak to our hearts that which is needful today. Teach us, Father. Preach to us. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. The Bible says that Paul is beginning to set sail. They've got a ship of Adramidium. If you look with me in verse 4, the Bible tells us that after they've left Sidon, they've launched, and they said they sailed under Cyprus. Why? Because the winds were contrary. Because the winds were contrary. Again in verse 7, when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Snidus, the wind not suffering us. So you might say that the winds were adverse in the face of Apostle Paul and in the face of those that were sailing on that vessel. What did they do? They continued to sail on. Now I want to say this morning that it is impossible without the Lord Jesus Christ's help for us to sail right into the face of the winds of adversity. But I want to say this morning, you can sail against a contrary wind. What? Your first point. You can sail against a contrary wind. But preacher, you said it's impossible. Well, I remember sitting down there and watching them as they were on the ocean and they began to take a ship out and the wind was blowing the wrong direction. And I watched the boat as it went this way, and then it went that way, and then it went this way, and it went that way. And they did that long enough until finally they were way out yonder sailing right into the face of adverse winds. And I thought, how in the world did they get all the way out there? And I began to study. They did it by a method called tacking. What happens is the wind's blowing in your face, and the ship would put up the sail and turn it at just a bit of an angle, capturing just part of that wind, and the keel of the boat, using a force of drag, would be sent around this way and guiding the boat to the right. And what they would do is they would use the wind to propel the boat, even though the keel or the rudders of the ship are dragging. Now understand this morning. They would go so far this way, then they'd turn their sails a little bit, catch the wind the other way, and then tack right back across, zigzag, diagonally, back and forth, they would sail. And I got to studying that and thinking about it, about an airplane. You know how an airplane, when it takes off, it don't just take off because it gets to a certain speed and it gets its wings out there. What happens is the wind begins to go up over the top of the wings and begins to come underneath it, and it creates a vacuum. And the propulsion of the wind and the force of the speed cause the airplane to have liftoff. Now, if the wings that you're looking at me are left or right like this, imagine a sailboat's all it's doing is turning a sail just like this. And it captures the wind, creating a vacuum, and propels it to go right and to go left. You understand what I'm trying to say this morning? You in your life, you are facing an adverse wind this morning. There is some circumstance that says to you, you cannot go on, just wait for this to subside and do absolutely nothing. Just sit there and succumb to the winds. But that's not what you need to do. In the face of adversity, if you had just set your sails just right and look to Jesus, He will propel you right past these adverse winds, and the next thing you've known, you've sailed right on in. Right in the face of adversity. So it is possible to capture the wind of His Spirit and sail right on in. Now Jesus has made Paul a promise. You are going to make it to Rome. Hey, can I tell you something this morning? Friend, if you're saved, you're going to make it to heaven. He's risked His name and His word and His reputation. His testimony has been voiced, and you are going to make it. You can sail on in. Let me say, second of all, you can sail against a contrary wind, but you can sail, second of all, by using the currents that are unseen. What? Well, in the water, in the sea itself, there are currents that are flowing. You can get on a satellite system and look up the Gulf Stream, and I look for it out when I, listen, I look for it down to the ocean, and I could not see it. I mean, I seen the wave effect, but I could not necessarily see the current other than waves that were coming at me. I looked and looked and could not find it. But you can get on a satellite system and punch in the Gulf Stream, which comes from Florida, up the East Coast to Boston, heads on up to Nova Scotia, goes right across the Atlantic down to the western face of Europe. And that Gulf Stream is flowing, and you can actually, from a satellite, watch the water currents flowing. I can't see it, but the satellite picked it up. Now, I got to thinking about that this morning. And certainly as they were sailing in the face of those adverse winds, they were tacking and sailing on in. But at the same time, they were using currents that are unseen. I studied the Gulf Stream just a minute. The Gulf Stream moves at 30 million cubic meters per second at a temperature of 74 degrees. And so what we're saying is the entire coastline of the Atlantic coastline of the United States and the coastline of Western Europe are impacted by currents that are unseen. I got to thinking about that, and I was trying to share that with Shane this morning. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, I want you to see something this morning about some unseen currents. We sing that old song, and you're about to get it already, but we sing that old song about the unseen hand. Boy, I'd like to have heard that this morning. That would have been right on the money. The unseen hand. You realize this morning that there are currents that are flowing around your life right now. The unseen hand of God, the Spirit of God is moving and ebbing and flowing, and He's working in your favor. You might can't see the currents. You might can't see the Spirit, but He's aligning some things up, and He's leading and guiding. In the book of Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 3, this is the word. Verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power. Let me just stop right there. There's our thought. Upholding, that means it's the word Pharaoh in the Greek context. It means to bear. It means to carry. He says He's upholding what? All things. Does that include you and me? He said all things by the word of His power. He's been leading in the service this morning. He's been guiding and flowing and moving things in the service this morning. I dare say that you and I might couldn't have seen it, but there were some currents flowing in our souls and in our hearts and were evidenced around us because some folks were obedient. But I wonder, were all folks obedient to the current that was flowing in this place today? This doctrine of being carried and being upheld is continued in Hebrews chapter 6. Go there with me this morning. This word Pharaoh is used a multitude of times in the New Testament. In chapter 6, this will grow on you, I promise. Look what he says here in verse number 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Perfection meaning in the Greek, maturity. Let us grow up. He said, let us go on. Same verb, Pharaoh, meaning let us go on as we are upheld by His Spirit and by His moving. We're being carried, we're being flowed along by His current. You're not getting it. Do you realize this? I can see it in your eye. You're not getting it. Let me tell you this morning. It is God that carries us to maturity. It is God that takes us and grows us and feeds us the Word of God and causes us to grow into things and understand things. I understand more today than I did yesterday, yet I seem a whole lot dumber to myself. You with me? Do you realize how are we going to go on? It is by His Spirit that He flows us. Now, let me say this morning. It is the work of God to uphold us and flow us and carry us by His current to maturity. That's His work. Then why does it not always happen? You get around people that just plain old everyday babies. Been saved 58 years, but babies. Pouting all the time, needing a pacifier, needing to be bottle fed with milk. I mean, after 58 years, good grief, you'd think, amen, that you'd got this thing and you'd be mature and you'd be an example. Why, if the Spirit of God is flowing us and we're sailing in these adverse conditions, why do we not know that? First wind it blows against you, I knew it was against me, I knew it wasn't going to happen. Why is that the first thing that happens to you? I'm going to tell you why it is. The current is flowing. I saw it on satellite on the Gulf Stream. Now, someone might decide to sail against it or to ignore it, but nonetheless, if you neglect the current's still flowing. God is still moving. The Spirit of God is still moving. Are you with me? The problem is we fight against it. He gives you the opportunity and the knowledge to read the Bible. You know you're supposed to. You know you should. You know you ought to. What He leads you to that and wants you to study. And what do you do? No, you're not in the Word. He leads you and guides you, and He has a current flowing that says, I'm going to give you an opportunity to go to Sunday school. I'm going to give you an opportunity to come to worship service. I've got it all set up. My current's flowing. I've given the man of God the message. Things are going. I'm going to preach to you and help you how to face adversity. I don't want it. I ain't going to go. Things have been hard this week. I think I'll just stay at the house. You won't study? You won't attend? I wonder, do you even love Him? I mean, the Spirit of God is flowing. And you hear me, they used the current that was flowing there in the Mediterranean to sail, help guide them by that keel right on in the face of those adverse winds. I say this morning, you need to learn to let the current, that is the flow of the Holy Spirit of God, the unseen hand of God, carry you and take you where you need to be. Quit fighting against Him. No, I don't want to go there. I want to go here. But the hand of God is leading you and guiding you to this place. No, I don't want to go there. I want to stay right where I'm at. And the Spirit of God's flowing and said you'll be blessed there. And adversity, you'll sail away from this stuff. Oh no, I like it right where I'm at. That's what we do. We fight the flow of the Holy Spirit of God. And I dare say this morning, in a service where folks are moving and standing and testifying, that no doubt somebody sit here and said, I don't like it. I don't like that. And might be somebody else sitting here and said, you know what? I should have stood up. Lord dealt with me by standing up. But again, either way, you resisted the flow of the Spirit of God. It'll get you in trouble. They sailed against contrary winds. Do it by using the wind itself. They've sailed against the winds of adversity by the very current that flows underneath them. There's a current, y'all, that's going to help you through this adverse time. It is the Holy Spirit of God. The God that brings you to it will be the God that brings you through it, I promise you. Thirdly, this morning, if you would look with me back here in the book of Acts, chapter 27, we do notice that he made this statement in verse number 4. And when we had launched from thence, from Sidon, we sailed under Cyprus, that is an island, because the winds were contrary. They used the contrary winds to get to a certain place. They used the currents to get to a certain place. But somehow they sailed under Cyprus. In other words, here's what happens. When the wind was adverse to them, they came to where there was land, water, and an island. Land on both sides. And when the wind was blowing against the shoreline, when they got underneath the island there, the winds hit the island, the land, and deflected and were redirected. They were in what you might say there underneath that island, a shelter. You need to learn to use the shelters that God has provided you when you're facing the winds of adversity. What, preacher? Oh yeah, not only did they sail under the island of Cyprus, which was a shelter to them and protected them from the wind, but in verse number 7, when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete, which is a huge mountainous island. And again, the wind being against them, and they come underneath the mountainous island, and the winds protect them and deflect, the mountain protects them from the wind and redirects all the winds. And now they're in another shelter. Do you see the shelter that they have under that island? It points out something to you and me this morning. It points out, first of all, that you and I have shelter in Jesus Christ. When the adverse winds are blowing against us, He is our mountain. He is the one that deflects the winds and calls us to be able to sail on in safely. Second of all, God has some other shelters that He's provided for you. What, preacher? Oh, yes, there's a couple shelters I want you to see. First, I want you to see one in verse 3. When they came to the land called Sidon, the Bible says that Julius, who is the centurion, he allowed Paul. Paul was a prisoner. He allowed Paul and those folks that are with him to go off of the ship. Who does that? To go off of the ship and to have refreshment or a time of revival or a time of encouragement, a time of fellowship with his friends there in Sidon. The church there is a collective body of believers. Do you realize one of your shelters is the church of the living God? He said, I want you to get up when you're facing the winds of adversity. And I want you to get in your car, and I want you to go to the house of God and be in the shelter of my church. They'll encourage you there. They'll refresh you there. This ought not to be the place of hurt. It ought to be the place of help. That's right. This ought to be the house of praise and the house of worship. This ought to be a place that's a shelter, a refuge away from the world. A protection against the winds that are so contrary to you. A place, amen, that you can come to and hear the Word of God and say, yes, I can make it. Yes, I can sail on in. I'll use the current of the wind of God. I'll use His Spirit who leads me. And God, I'll learn to trust Him more. And I'll quit trying to do it my own way. I'll quit fighting against Him. You see, He's wanting them to be encouraged by coming to the church. Already Paul, as a prisoner, is having an impact on the centurion's life. So much that he trusted him to go off the vessel and to go out and attend and have a little revival meeting. A wonderful time of refreshment. Not only that, but up here in verse number 2, he says, and entering into a ship of Adramidium, we launched. Who is we? We launched. We know about Paul. Who is we? The writer here of the book of Acts. Who is the writer? It is Luke, the beloved physician. He was with Paul. Maybe he was with Paul as a attending physician. Some have suggested that he checked himself on board the ship as a slave of Paul. Paul, being a Roman citizen, is allowed the freedom of bringing any slaves that are registered to him on board the boat. Maybe Dr. Luke says, Paul, I'll just go as your slave. You're my pastor anyway. You're the under shepherd. I'm following you. I'll just register as your slave. You know what Jesus said? He said, when I was in prison, you came and visited me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. Somebody said, when did we see you in prison? When was you hungry? When did we give you something to drink? When did we do that? He said, in that you did it unto the least of one of these my brethren, you did it even unto me. When Luke checked himself on the boat, a prison boat going towards Rome, and Luke submitted to that, it was just like he was submitting to the very Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And not only did Luke do that, but I want you to look, there's another one the Bible says, we lost, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. Here's another one. Aristarchus is with them. Do you know what? Here's Paul. He's imprisoned. He's on a ship going to Rome. Never been there. A lot of worry, a lot of dread. You might say a lot of adversity to him. Not just in the wind, but in circumstances of his life. And God moves two men, one named Luke and one named Aristarchus, to come in and say, we're with you in this. We're going to be slaves to you. We're going to encourage you. It's going to be all right. Ain't you glad that God, not only has He got a church for you to be sheltered in, but He's surrounded you with a good family. He's given you some good friends. Folks that if you had a need, you would not wait for a second to call them and say, I'm in trouble. We've got a problem. Adversity's coming. You know what? God works it out where you can have good friends that can be there one for another. I read this story about this little boy in Australia. In our July, here it's hot, but there it's cold, and there's snow skiing in Australia. And this little boy, he was just a little toddler, about some of these youngins' age that we've seen around here this morning. And he got his dog Bear, and they just kind of left the yard together and just went down the street. And Mama began to come out and look for young Zach and couldn't find him. And she screamed, and finally she called her husband. And her husband came, and they couldn't find him. And they called all their friends. They checked in every shelter they could check it. No one had seen their son. They called the police department. They came. They looked for Bear, and they looked for Zach. They could not find them anywhere. It gets cold in Australia. 4 and 5 and 6 degrees. That's how cold it gets up in some of them places up in there. And that little boy's lost. They were looking, seeking, searching, praying. And I'm telling you what else they were doing. They were waiting on God to work it all out. It's just in His hands. It's more than we can do. We've got every government official, everybody we know is looking in the little small town in Australia. When somewhere the next day there came a phone call that said, we've got him. He's at the hospital right now. We've got him. We're taking him there. Meet us there. And his mom and dad come. And the little boy's no frostbite on him. He's perfectly, absolutely fine. Everything is good. And they say, what, son? Where did you go? What happened? He said, where's Bear? Where's Bear? Where's Bear? Where's my dog Bear? And they said, we can't bring him in, son. They said, you get my dog Bear. And they brought the dog in here. He said, dog Bear slept on me. Dog Bear slept on me. You see, that little boy was cold. When he was facing the cold winds of adversity, he just laid himself down to give up. And it come an old dog that laid down on that boy and sheltered him from the cold winds. And the next morning, that little boy turned out to be just fine. If a dog could be a shelter for a little boy, why can't someone like Luke or Aristarchus or the church be a shelter for someone who's facing the winds of adversity emotionally, spiritually, financially, mentally? There is a struggle that's going on in someone's life, and the church is here to try to be a shelter for you. We'll never replace Jesus, but He's worked it out to where you'd have some folks around you that you could count on. Certainly you could say, thanks be unto God for that. I wonder if you stand to your feet this morning. If someone come to instance this morning, play, I wonder, face somebody in this field and say, you know what, preacher? I've been facing the winds of adversity. And I've learned I can sail on in. It might not be as quick as I want, and moving as fast as I want, but I'm going to trust the winds of His Spirit to guide me. I'm going to trust the flow and the current of His Spirit to lead me and put me where I need to be. I'm not going to fight against Him. And Lord, this morning, I'm going to use the shelter. Shelters at the altar. Shelters in You. Shelters in my friends. Shelter in the church. I'm going to use that. Might be somebody else say, you know what, preacher? Thank God for the shelter that I found in my friend or in you. And I want to slip to the altar because when the winds were adverse, you were there. When the winds were adverse, I called my friend. They came. They were there. Boy, I cried on the shoulder. They were there to encourage me and they prayed for me and they helped me. I want to face somebody up in this building and say, you know what, preacher? I want to be a shelter for somebody. But I'm afraid that the Lord's arranged it to where I could be a shelter. But preachers, so many times I get so caught up in myself and in my own unique situation that I miss being able to help somebody else. And God has worked it all out where I could be a shelter. And I want to come to order. And I want to say, God, I want to be a shelter to somebody. I want to be a person who's lifting up in prayer. A person who's encouraging. I want to belong to a church like that. I want to be part of a church like that. Lord, I want to come as a candidate this morning to be one of Your shelters. To refuge someone. To encourage them and help them. I'm asking this morning, friend, would you come? As He spoke to your heart, would you come? Make it because you're being upheld by the word of His power. If nobody else ever prays for you, Jesus already has. And you're being upheld by the word of His power. And you can make it because Jesus said so. Lord, this morning as we bow, Lord, we realize that the church today, a lot of people don't realize it, but she faces adverse winds. Economically, politically, God, this nation may come to the point to where they want to shut the church down, close its doors, no longer preach the gospel, no longer make a stand against gay marriage, and make a stand for prayer in schools. But yet our nation doesn't care. We always worry about if the adverse winds in my own situation, are they blowing against me personally? God, we better realize that this will come to an individual level. For God, this nation's in bad shape tonight, God. And this church faces the very winds of adversity. But I'm glad we know that we can sail on in on the old ship of Zion. Because we're guided by Your wind, the Holy Spirit. And because, Lord, we'll use the current, the ebb and flow of the Spirit of God. And, Father, trusting You, we don't worry about what Washington says. And Lord, we'll not be concerned about the threats of how high the gasoline tank goes or how low the stock market falls. God, we're just going to be governed, upheld by the very word of Your power. And I pray, God, this morning, that this church would figure out the adversity that she faces this morning is great. Then, Lord, I thank You, Father, that You've allowed us, God, shelters. Oh, shelters, a place of protection, God. A place of finding safety from adversity in Your Word. A place of finding a safe place of protection from adversity in prayer. In seeking Your face. In looking to You. For, God, You've told us, Father, that Your yoke is easy and Your burden is light. Thank You, God, for that. And God, as we pray this morning, Lord, and we found our shelter in You, God, we pray, God, You to help the church to be a shelter to someone who's facing adverse conditions, to be a shelter, a protection of someone who's hurting, to not be a place, Father, to kick them further down, but be a place that would love them and lift them up, a place to refresh them and administer to their soul. God, I pray You'd help the church to be a shelter, God, that she was called to be. And then,
God, we that individually make up the shelter, call the church, God. Help us, Lord, as friends and families, God, loved ones. God, I pray and help us, God, to take individual burdens of folks, God, and encourage them and try to lift them up, God, and be a personal shelter to someone, Lord. Lord, we're asking this because we cannot do it on our own, but we need your strength. If an old dog cares that much, Lord, to lay down and keep a little boy warm, does the church care? Lord, for this we ask and pray your help and guidance in, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.